The youth went to the kiva and the chief was waiting for him there. The crier was sent out to call the people to come to the kiva, and when the men gathered in the kiva, the youth told them how he had been taught the songs and the painting of the masks, and how the Kachanas had control of the rain and wished the people to make prayer offerings for them whenever they prayed for rain, and held a Kachana dance. And so the Crow and Kachana clans brought these dances to the Hopi. 77. The Legend of Palitkapi. Many years ago, when the Hopis were living down at Palitkapi, they were very progressive and prosperous, on account of having water, and having an irrigating system from the river which flows through that country. There they had taxation by means of doing some donation work on the canals and ditches at certain times of the year. They did not have so many ceremonies. Then and their most sacred one was Lakantai, basket dance. In this dance, baskets were used, like the ones of Second Mesa today. This ceremony always took place late in the fall, and it had always brought them rain and heavy snow up in the mountains. And also their jejelti, social dances, were not many. The most joyous one was the butterfly dance. Being prosperous in their way of living, everything was plenty, and why shouldn't they be happy and amuse themselves in some way? So, from one of the kivas, they held a butterfly dance with which the spectators were very much pleased. Everybody was talking about it, so the dancers again put it on for two more days, then they thought they would pass it on to the next kiva. So they asked the men of the other kiva to carry on the same dance, and when they had danced, these men passed it on to the next kiva, and so it went around like that until it came back to the kiva from where it was started. In this kind of a dance, only the young maidens are supposed to dance, but by this time some of the young married women were taking part, and instead of putting it on during the daytime in the plaza, they were dancing in the kiva at nights, so they were having a great time of their lives, and it went on from bad to worse. Nobody cared who was whose wife or husband, and finally they got the wife of their chief. In those days, the chief or any high priest was not supposed to take part in social dances, or was not to be seen in the kiva with the rest of the people, as it was their general rule that they must have patience, and above all must bear in mind peace, and think and pray for prosperity in the years to come, for they knew that the people of any race must have good supplies of food and water to keep their bodies in strong physical condition to defend themselves against an enemy attack. They were good fathers and watched over their people carefully. They were patient and neither heard nor spoke evil. No matter what the people would do or how bad they might be, they were always comforted. But as this dancing went on, it was carried too far, and all the rest of the priests had gone crazy except Chief Tawai Istiwa, himself. 78. This chief they had was quite a young man. He had only two small children, and these babies being neglected, they would cry at night when they woke up, so the father would take them to the kiva to get the mother to nurse the younger one. When they were quieted down, the father would take them back to bed again. On these trips to the kiva at night, his wife would sometimes ask him to come down into the kiva and look on while they danced, and of course, knowing the law and his duty, he always had refused. All these things got so heavy on him that he could bear it no longer, so one evening he went and called on his nephew, Siwi Istiwa, who had grown up to be a good strong young man. While this madness was with the people, men and women of mature age had pleaded with their sons and daughters, telling them of the wrong and crime that they were doing against their father, the chief, and themselves. But it was of no use, it only caused the younger people to lose respect for them. And then the old people were ill-treated, spit upon and fed on the leftovers, which were not very much, for the house duties were neglected by the young women. All this was unbearable for the aged people and for the chief. So he called at the house of his nephew. He was welcome and seated himself by the fireplace. Siwi Istiwa got up from his seat and handed his uncle a bag of tobacco which hung on the wall nearby, and this the uncle smoked. After finishing his smoking, the youth asked him what he had come for. "Yes," said Tawai Istiwa, "after long wanderings in my mind about our children. People, it seems like I am forced to come and have to depend on you to sacrifice yourself, not for the good of anyone, but for all everybody here in my town." "Yes, you certainly have a lot of patience," said the youth, "to hold out this way. What with all I have seen and know of your wife. I did not want to tell you because I did not wish to be the cause of the weight of your wrath. Because of the sympathy that I have for you, I am willing to do what you have come to ask of me." "I thank you, my nephew," said the chief. "Thank you. First of all, I would like to know if you are strong on your running." "Yes," said Siwi Istiwa, "I am quite strong." "All right," said the chief. "Of course you may be, but I still want you to gain some more strength and speed. So from tomorrow on, you will start to do your running to the foot of the mountain ridge and back. That is quite a distance away, so the best way to time yourself would be by the rising of the sun. 79. For a few mornings the sun will rise before you get back here, but if you are gaining by and by, you will get back here away before sunrise, so be sure to get up at the same time in the mornings and be off. I will call again in a few days and will tell you what we will do next." After the chief had gone, Siwi Istiwa was rather a little worried, but of course, with the hope he in those days the uncle was over the nephews and nieces. Whenever he asked anything of them, it had to be done. While the boy was preparing himself, he didn't know for what, his uncle too was getting things ready for him. The youth was gaining strength and speed and was very light on his feet, and he was getting back to the village away before the sun would come up over the horizon. Then Tawai Istiwa again went to see his nephew, and when he got there he found the youth was waiting for him. "Come right in and have a seat," said his nephew, getting up and handing him a bag of tobacco as usual. After smoking a pipe he said to the boy, "Again I am here, hoping to find you with more strength and speed." "Yes," said his nephew, "I have gained some." "Very well," said his uncle, "I have everything ready for you, so tonight you can come over to my house and there I will tell what to do. But be sure to come after everybody goes to the kiva." Late that night Siwi Istiwa went to his uncle's house. Upon entering, the chief took him away into the back room. There they sat down and there his uncle smoked his pipe solemnly over the payos which he had prepared. Then he said, "Here I have these things ready for you, and tomorrow morning early you will take these payos out with you toward the same direction you have been going and up over the mountain ridge. On the other side is an open range. There you will come upon a herd of deer. Look them over carefully, then make your selection of a young buck with a pair of good weapons, horns, but wait for the sun to appear. Now watch very closely, and just as it peeps over the horizon run into the herd. It is those weapons that you are going to get for me, so be sure to keep after your selected buck until you run him down. Then after cutting off his two front horns, you will deliver to him these payos that I have here made ready for him, and also my message." The next morning Siwi Istiwa went out to where he was directed, and when he got there he went over the mountains, and there in the open he saw a herd of deer. 80. He looked them over very carefully while he was waiting for the sun to rise, and just as the sun peeped over the horizon he ran into them, and how they made the dust fly. But he kept after them along the side of the mountain range so as to keep them away from the rocky hills. The deer kept falling away one by one, until at last his selected buck was left alone. Now finally this deer gave out and lay down. The boy jumped on him quickly and took hold of his horns and turned his head over. But alas, the deer cried, "Mercy me, have a heart," in plain Hopi, which was of course a very astonishing thing to the youth, and he held his breath for a moment. Then he said to the deer, "I am not going to hurt you, I am not going to kill you, I only want your horns, your weapons. My uncle, Tawai Istiwa, would like to have them, so he has sent me out here to get them, but I don't know why." "Mercy be upon us," said the deer. "Has he lost his mind and forgot his theory and law, and is he angry with us all, and will he use my weapons to destroy his town?" Then he sank down in sorrow and in sympathy for all that were ignorant of the coming calamity. Shedding quite a few drops of tears, he then looked up and said, "Take my weapons, but please do not use your knife, because you will hurt me. Just give them a little twist and they will slip off and another pair will grow out again soon." "Thank you," said the youth as he took off the horns. Then he brought forth his bundle and said to the deer, "Here, I have some payos which my uncle, Chief Tawai Istiwa, has made and sent them to you, hoping to make you all happy. He also said that all you people, game, living down here in the lower country must get to moving and drift over to the higher mountains to the northeast, that you may be saved, so take these payos to your people and tell them what the chief has said about moving.